This is the Making Good Podcast, episode 31. Welcome to the Making Good Podcast with me, Jen Gale. Stay tuned for inspirational stories from ethical and social entrepreneurs and people making good stuff happen in their communities, as well as tips, tools, and techniques to help you grow your ethical business and amplify your impact. Hello, welcome to the Making Good Podcast, and have I got an absolute cracker of a show for you today. Just before we dive in, I wanted to let you know that I've still got a few spaces left to work with one-to-one coaching clients in September and beyond. If you've already got an ethical business or a social enterprise that you're looking to grow, or you've just got the nugget of an idea that will make the world a better place, then coaching is such a brilliant way to help you get from where you are now to where you want to be. And what's more, to do it more quickly and easily than you might be able to do on your own. As your coach, I can help you to work out exactly where it is you want to be, to get crystal clear on your big vision and how you can incorporate those all important values into your business, and then create the roadmap to get you there, all at the same time as keeping you accountable to take those actions that you need to. If your ears have pricked up and you'd love to find out more, then I'll pop a link in the show notes, which you can find at jengale.co.uk, or you can drop me an email on jen@jengale.co.uk. Okie dokie. In today's episode, I interview one half of a couple who have done exactly one of those things I referred to. They had the nugget of an idea that would make the world a better place, and they ran with it. Nicola and Richard are the owners of one of the UK's only zero waste shops, Earth Food Love, in Totnes in Devon. But just this time last year, they were living in a flat in Manchester, expecting their first child, and feeling frustrated with their current jobs, wanting to do something that made a difference. Hear about how, with no retail or business experience, a Google search of what's the most eco-friendly place to live in Britain led them to Totnes, and a short while later they'd up sticks and moved there to start an ambitious and amazing business that allows them to genuinely be the change they want to see in the world. It's a massively inspiring tale of one couple who felt the fear, or actually maybe not if you have a listen, but did it anyway. They had the courage to follow their dreams and to change the parts of their lives that no longer fitted with who they were or who they wanted to be. Now, there's a little bit of background noise at some points during this episode because Richard, the other half of Nicola and Richard, is roasting his nuts, which I can't say without sniggering. He's roasting his nuts in the background. And that's not a euphemism. He is genuinely bulk roasting a big batch of peanuts ready to be used in their amazing peanut butter machine that the guys have got in the shop. So please forgive the little bit of background noise, but I don't think that it will distract from the amazing and inspiring story that these guys share. Enjoy. Hi, Nicola. How are you?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you.
Brilliant. I'm really excited for this one and to find out. I've got so many questions I want to ask you. But before we dive into the proper questions, can you just to answer the big question, which is tea or coffee?
Tea.
Tea. Lovely. So can you just introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about what you do, and I'm always fascinated to hear how people got there.
We now both own the shop and run the Zero Waste shop. How we got here was basically we wanted a shop like that to shop in ourselves.
Yeah.
And there wasn't one. So we just said, it was very much off a whim. My husband's very spontaneous and he said, let's open one. Let's move to Devon. we both have no business experience, no retail experience, but we're just really passionate about real food, organic food, and basically saving the oceans.
Wow. So
yeah.
I feel like there must be more of a backstory to that. So, what was the kind of run up to that? Were you sort of passionate about zero waste and all those kinds of things beforehand, or was it something that happened after you had your little one, or how did that all come together?
Yeah, so it came together from basically the birth of our daughter Willow. Mm-hmm. At the time, we was living in Manchester in an apartment building that had no recycling facilities. And that's when we noticed how much waste you go through, even if it is being recycled.
Yeah.
Because we used to save up all our recycling at the door and we'd go to the big recycling plant like 2 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we saw on the big scale, like how much gets recycled and how energy intensive it must be.
Mm.
And then we heard of a shop in Berlin, which is called Unverpacket. And that's basically a grocery store without packaging.
Oh, wow.
And we kind of had a, you know, why isn't there, you know, why can't we have access to that?
Yeah.
And it was, we were transitioning into parents, we was entering parenthood, and we thought, we want to do something, like, what kind of world do we want our baby to grow up in? So that's kind of, that planted the seed. And then regards, I'd say we've been, like, imperfect environmentalists for, like, the last 4 or 5 years. It started with the way we eat, and we're both plant-based, and that introduced us to the world of eco and, you know, our impact on the planet.
Yeah.
And then... yeah, my husband's extra passionate about the oceans and marine life. And it all just kind of linked together. We're both really passionate about organic farming. We only purchase organic food. And it just kind of all came together. And it's as if that's what we was meant to do.
Oh, I absolutely love it. So, and I love that phrase you just used, imperfect. Was it imperfect environmentalists?
Yeah.
Because I think that does just sum it up. Because I think that's something that puts a lot of people off starting to make changes, is they think they've got to go the whole hog, whereas actually you just need to start.
Exactly, yeah, and that's it. Like, even ourselves, we don't claim to be zero waste. We're not zero waste yet, but we strive for zero waste, and that's the difference. Because if you strive for it, you're going to get, you know, a lot closer than you ever imagined you could.
Yes, definitely.
And yeah, so it's about not being intimidated as well, because I feel entering this kind of world of clean eating and being eco, it's really intimidating, because people are like, oh yeah, but I still drive a diesel car, or I still, you know, have an iPhone, and it's like, you're allowed to do that. Just be conscious in your other choices, you know.
Absolutely. And I think it's all about exactly what you said about being conscious about your choices. So absolutely, you know, nobody's expecting you to live off grid and to I don't know, live in a yurt, and, you know, but it's just, do you just be aware of the impact of your choices and make the best choices that you can at that time.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we've mentioned zero waste a lot already, because obviously you're a zero waste shop. For people who aren't really particularly familiar with that term, as you said, it can be quite intimidating. Can you explain what it means and what it means to you guys?
Yeah, so zero waste is basically striving for a circular economy instead of a linear economy. So rather than something being produced just to end up in landfill and it gets used, even if it gets used for a few years or a few moments in most cases, it's keeping it in production, keeping it in a circular economy so you can use it time and time again. If you follow the 5 R's, which Bea Johnson, who's the pioneer of zero waste, she recommends that you refuse, then reduce, then reuse, then recycle, then rot. And that surprises a lot of people, because recycle's, you know, very far down the list. Because recycling isn't actually the, you know, the, it's not a good thing, actually. It's very energy intensive, and it's not the answer to the problem. So it's addressing the other, refuse, reduce and reuse first.
Definitely. And I think, as you said, that does surprise a lot of people. They think, well, I'm doing my recycling, so it's fine. But it's, as you say, it uses a lot of energy, and a lot of things actually end up being downcycled, don't they? So that they're...
Yeah, exactly.
They're not... So a plastic bottle doesn't make a new plastic bottle. It makes a park bench or something. And then ultimately that plastic degrades each time it's recycled. So...
Yeah, so plastic can't actually ever be recycled. Like you said, it gets downcycled. And once it's been downcycled once, it can't be recycled again, because it's then classed as a lesser plastic.
Yeah.
And it'll be dangerous because it'll be mixed with other plastics. And yeah, it ends up in landfill where you were trying to stop it going... Anyway,
yeah, absolutely. And so what were both of you doing before you had Willow, and when you were up in Manchester?
So I taught English as a second language.
Oh, okay.
And Richard actually played football, so he had a huge career change.
Wow.
Yeah, he played professional football since the age of 16.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And before I sort of hit record on the call... I said to you about Totnes and the fact that the shop is in Totnes, which is this kind of hotbed almost of, I don't want to say alternative living, but of a very green and eco stuff, and is the home of the transition movement, which Rob Hopkins formed and is all about sort of alternative, not alternative economy, but it's a very different way of looking at things, isn't it?
And
you said that was very specifically one of the reasons why you chose Totnes.
Yes. Like I said, we actually did a Google search to find, we'd never even been to Devon before. And my husband Googled, where's the most eco-friendly place in the UK?
Yeah.
And Totnes came up, so we read a bit about it. And when we came down, we just knew straight away, because we did like hard market research. We just started asking local people, you know, we've got this idea of opening up a shop without packaging. Would you be interested? And people were so enthusiastic and they really wanted it. They said, we need it. And like that, we didn't have the same response from where we was from in Manchester.
Yeah.
People kind of didn't get it. And I feel it needs to be somewhere like this first,
yes,
to show that it's successful, it can work, and then other places will follow suit.
Absolutely. And so how long have you been up and running now?
So we opened on the 11th of March. Oh, so I think it's about 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. And how long did it take you to kind of do all your research and get up and running?
So we first visited Totnes last August.
Oh my God.
Then we moved down in October. We got the keys to the shop in November. Opened in March.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, it all happened quick, really.
I absolutely love it. And what do you think? You said your husband's quite sort of spontaneous, but there's a big difference, isn't there? I think, God, I'd really love a zero waste shop near me, but there's a massive gap, isn't there, between thinking I'd really love one near me, mm-hmm, to thinking, okay, we're going to move towns and we're going to open one. A lot of people would find that a very scary proposition, especially as you said, with no kind of retail background and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
What allowed you almost to make that big transition, that big change?
I think it was the sense of, well, we became really conscious within ourselves, and we kind of sounds really dramatic, but like, what's the meaning to life? What are we doing here? What's our purpose? And we was both in jobs that just didn't make a difference to anything.
Yeah.
And we said, we want to make a difference. And my husband said he wants his job to have meaning. He wants to get up in the morning and be doing, you know, a positive change.
Sure.
And he wants to be a good example to his daughter.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, what could go wrong? We said to ourselves, what's the worst that could happen? And the worst that could happen is it doesn't work out, but at least we'd have tried and we'd have stories to tell. That's kind of what
absolutely
we told ourselves.
Yeah.
And it all happened that quick that we didn't let fear creep in.
Yes.
We think if we'd have thought about it longer, and if we'd have been really rational, and fear does creep in.
Yeah.
And it'd have taken over, I think, whereas we was like, okay, we're young, we need to do it now, mm-hmm, while we've got the energy and the time. Let's just go for it.
Wow. That's so inspiring. And so for anyone who hasn't, well, I say for anyone who hasn't been to a zero waste shop, but people who aren't familiar with it, because are you the first one in the UK?
No, we're the only one in the UK. There was one. There was one in London originally.
Right.
Called Unpackaged.
Yeah.
It started out as a market stall, and then she got a shop. Catherine Conway is the lady that set it up. I think it was way back in 2006.
Yeah.
And it was really successful for just over a year or so. And then it went to a bigger premises and combined a cafe with it. And unfortunately, it didn't work out because she changed location. I don't know if it was the location or the fact that the cafe was with it. So now she has a small kind of section inside Planet Organic in London, where you can get some of the popular items, such as rice, cereal, beans.
Yeah.
But yeah, unfortunately, it's just a small section now.
Okay.
So we like to say, at the moment, we're the only fully zero waste shop, but we're not the first.
Yeah, brilliant. So how does it actually work? If I wanted to come and do my shopping with you guys, how does it work?
So we encourage reusing over recycling. So we encourage you to bring your own jars. It doesn't have to be a jar, actually. It could be any container. We've had yogurt pots, ice cream tubs. We've had, compost bins. Someone brought a big compost bucket once. Filled it with like 5 kilos of oats.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, you weigh your container, and it gives you like a number which you can either write on or print out a label.
Yeah.
And then you fill it and weigh it again, and then you pay.
Brilliant.
So it basically subtracts the weight of your container, so you're not paying for it. And a lot of people think you have to buy in bulk, as in buy large quantities.
Yeah.
But the beauty is you can get as little as you like.
Mm-hmm.
You can get, we had someone buy like 8 pence worth of loose leaf tea once because they just wanted to try the flavour.
Yeah.
Which is, it doesn't just eliminate plastic packaging, it's food waste as well. People are buying just what they need.
Yes.
No, you know, people aren't going to have in the back of their cupboard big bags of flour and sugar that are going to get wasted.
Yeah, definitely. And so what kinds of things do you stock?
Wow, we stock rice, beans, nuts, seeds, legumes, pulses, chocolates, flours, sugars. We've got nutritional yeast, seaweed, stock, over 50 herbs and spices. We've got nut butters. Then we've got, we've got all the cleaning products, which is by liquid, which we let people do on weight as well, so they don't have to feel they have to get a litre or 500 mil. Then we've got maple syrup, agave, tamari. We've got zero waste lifestyles, such as like the sanitary products, the washable pads and the moon cups. We've got bamboo toothbrushes, bars of soap.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try and fit as much as we can in the little shop.
And you said that when you first visited Totnes and you did some research asking people on the streets and they were all really enthusiastic, what's the response been like since you've opened?
We couldn't even imagine. We thought naively that we was moving to a quiet little town in the country and having a quiet life with a little shop. And we'd get emails from all over the world daily. Wow. People from Budapest, people from Bali, New Zealand, Canada. Like, it's, for some reason, it's reached, I just thought it maybe people in England would know about it, and I'd have been really happy with that. But yeah, it's gone worldwide. People all over the world are asking us to help set them one up, and it's really, it's going in the right direction because it's going to be the future of shopping.
Yes.
And that's really great to know.
And that, because you've had some really amazing press, haven't you, which has really raised the profile of it and the concept of zero waste shopping and a different way of shopping. How did all that press come about? Was that something you pitched to people, or did people hear about it?
We've been that busy because it was just both of us working, and obviously we have a baby, so really it was just Richard working. I do the admin and the social media at home once Willow's sleeping or if she's in bed in the evening. And we never had time to actually reach out to anyone. And so everyone's come to us, which has been overwhelming, but in a really positive way. It's just what we needed.
Yes.
And I think it just shows the interest is there. People want it, you know?
Definitely. And in response to all these requests you've had, you've actually put a document up, haven't you, on your website that tells people how to do this, that people can just access for free, and it gives them all that information.
Yeah, so when I first started getting emails, I was trying to reply individually because people had asked certain questions like, where did you source this, or what about this? And so I was trying to answer them, and I thought, this is getting a bit too much. I don't have the time or the energy to do this. But I really want, and then a lot of people was asking us to franchise, and we really didn't want to because we think the reason our shop is successful is because it's so personal and it's a small family-run shop. Mm-hmm. So we didn't want to franchise, but I wanted to help these people. So we just dedicated a few weeks to creating this document, and we chose to release it for free.
Yeah.
Because I feel to get money off something that I want to happen just doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
So we could have charged for it almost, we could have probably charged quite a lot of money for people to access this information, but we wanted as many people as possible to get this information.
Yeah.
We wanted people to get the document, print it out, and pass it on to their local shopkeepers and their council, just to try and encourage it.
Yeah. And I'll link to that document in the show notes, so if anyone's interested they can have a little look. And what would your advice be to someone if they did want to start up their own?
I think you have to approach it from passion, not from financial gain.
It
can be a profitable business, but I wouldn't enter it just to make money, just to kind of be in trend. You have to be passionate about it, because you will get customers that come in and say it's very inconvenient, and they don't want to do it themselves. And it's just to having the knowledge and the passion as to why it's not just needed, but it's essential. Like, we need to stop this plastic pollution now. We can't carry on the way we're going. So have the passion and have the enthusiasm, and that rubs off on people. And it's also cheaper to shop as well, so that can, you can get people in that way.
I was going to say to you, is it my assumption would be that it would be more expensive. I don't know why.
So a lot of people think we personally make sure we're cheaper on everything. That's like our goal from all our local competitors, because we get it in cheaper because we're buying such large quantities in bulk. So we reflect that to the customer.
Brilliant.
Obviously,
yeah.
If people open up their own shop, they might choose to run it differently, but we never have any special offers on. We never have any sales. We literally change the prices accordingly as to how we source them.
Yeah.
So, for example, the Brazil nuts at the moment have gone up because there's a drought in Bolivia. So we've put the Brazil nuts up put a sign explaining to the customers why. But the second they drop, we'll drop them again.
Yeah.
So there's never any gimmicks, never any advertising or offers. It's just complete transparency.
I was going to say, it's all completely transparent, which is almost the opposite of what you get from a traditional supermarket, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. All the special offers aren't actually special offers. They're all making money on the special offers. So when you get a 3 for 2, you're actually probably paying the same as you would anyway.
Yeah.
It just happens to say you get 3 for 2, which...
Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time when the prices are... When something's half price or at a discount, it's not actually the supermarket that are absorbing that discount. It's the supplier, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, because they've got such a stranglehold on people. And so the response from other people wanting to set up their own shops has been quite almost overwhelming by the sounds of it. What's the response been of the people in the town and people coming into the shop?
Again, better than we could have ever imagined. The people in Totnes are very, I'd say, very loving and open, and they express their feelings like I've never seen up north, which was new to us. Like, we had people come in and there's people that have cried when they've come in the shop. There's people that have come in and just thanked us, like, thank you so much, like actually thanking us as people and recognizing us as, you know, not just a business but as individuals. And that has been really nice, and just the support they give us, it's very, very encouraging.
And has everyone who's come in, because Totnes is that kind of hub of eco-friendly living and that kind of lifestyle. Yeah. As you said, people were ready for that. Have you had people come in who this was something, a new concept to them, and they were maybe a little bit sceptical, or has everybody been like, wow, this is amazing, this is what we need?
No, we do get the odd bit of criticism. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are concerned about hygiene, so it's just a case of... that's mainly more people on social media. They comment and say, oh, this must be unhygienic.
Right.
So we just kindly ask them, like, you know, if you come into the store, you can see how clean everything is. We've got a separate scoop for every single product.
Yeah.
But the majority of products are in gravity containers anyway. They can see how fresh the food is because it's first in, first out. And it is just a very, it is a very clean environment. It's very inviting environment. There's always enough staff on to ensure that it's completely clean. We have separate brushes that are just for food surfaces, and we brush it straight into the bin. I think you need to be in it. I think people have this bad notion of these scoop and saves that was around in the 80s, where it's just these big sacks and they just kind of get all grubby hands in them. And it's just not like that anymore. The advance in technology is great. We use a company called Martech that provide all the containers.
Uh-huh.
And it's... Yeah, it's very clean, very organised, very efficient.
It sounds amazing. And I said to you, we're coming your way on holiday next week, so I'm desperate now to pop in. And you were saying that Richard, your husband, is currently roasting some nuts, isn't he? Because you've got a special machine for making peanut butter, which my kids will just adore.
Yes, that's the fame of the shop, I think. We've got two of them. So most days we have almond butter and peanut butter.
Yeah.
All organic, dry roasted, no salt. And it makes the best nut butter you've ever tasted.
Wow.
Without being biased, of course.
Absolutely. And did you, I guess, I'm assuming you didn't, but you said there's this shop in Berlin that was the sort of inspiration. Did you do any research in terms of going to visit, or did you get in touch with them, or did you just come up with your own ideas for doing things?
We really wanted to visit, but because we had such a young baby at the time, it just wasn't doable.
Yeah.
But we got what we needed to know just by looking at an image of their shop, like, wow, look at all that food.
Yeah.
And it's the food that we went through so much of. Like I mentioned, we are plant-based.
Yeah.
So we was getting every day, like, packets of rice, tins or packets of dried beans, nuts, seeds, and everything came in this plastic bag.
Yeah.
And it just didn't make sense. It was like, okay, this is how it should be. So, yeah, we just read an article, saw a pitch and said, wow, that's it.
I absolutely love it. It's so great.
Yeah. And Rick did make a good point. He wanted to keep our vision strong.
Right.
And looking back in retrospect, he said if we had have gone over to Germany, we might have either been discouraged or we might have been advised, oh, you need to sell a non-organic option as well, right, for profit, because, you know, if that person, I've never actually met the owner, but they might be more business driven mm-hmm. than us, whereas we're very stubborn in our beliefs, so we yeah. only sell organic, we only sell plant-based, even though we know we could probably make a lot more money if we sure. offered a non-organic option
yeah.
as well.
Yeah,
but we want to live true to the way we live.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And I was looking, having a little nose around your website earlier, and saw that those values that you've got that show in the products that you stock and all those kinds of things, they run right through the business, because you're part of the 1% for the planet, and you use Ecotricity for your electricity, yes. don't you? And Totnes is also fortunate enough to have a Totnes pound, isn't it?
It is, yes. So yeah, the Totnes, we just feel we wanted the shop to be an extension of ourselves.
Mm.
So we wanted complete transparency on everything.
Yeah.
And when we found out about the 1% for the planet, which I think is such an amazing organization,
yeah.
but not many people know about it in England. So I'm hoping, well, there's no other business in Totnes that uses it.
Okay.
And I think there's only a handful in the whole of the UK, actually.
Yeah.
It is growing.
It's part of
everything like that now. Yeah. Yeah, Puka Tea, you know, the tea, herbal tea brand, they're a part of it. And it is, yeah, I think it should be shouted off the rooftops, because it's, you donate 1% of your turnover.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't matter if you make, you know, a small turnover or large, because it's only 1%.
Yeah.
And it makes a huge difference.
Mm. And what do they use that money for?
So you can choose. It's all got to be an environmental charity,
mm-hmm.
which gets monitored by the 1% for the Planet organization. So you know. Yes, yeah, so Richard's saying only 3% of all fundraising in the world ever goes to environmental causes.
Wow.
So this is just for environmental causes.
Yeah.
And you can choose. So there's a group of charities, there's, you know, a big range to choose from.
Mm.
You can choose like a global charity, like maybe an Amazon rainforest one,
mm-hmm.
or you can choose one closer to home.
Okay.
So there's, you can choose more than one as well and split the money.
Oh, brilliant.
So we're doing a global and a local, because we think it's important to keep,
yes.
you know, the UK charities winning as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that sounds fascinating. And it's, I think I'm going to definitely look into that for my coaching business as well. And as you said, that raising the profile of that kind of thing as well is just, I wasn't aware of that statistic at all, about the 3% of all fundraising going to environmental charities, and the fact that the work they're doing is going to become more and more important as you know, climate change and things progresses. And the Totnes pound, can you just explain that a little bit to people?
Yeah, so the Totnes pound is basically trying to keep the money on the high street.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, a lot of the shops accept it, the market accepts it, and it's just, it's great, because it brings tourists in. For one, we have people coming to the shop that want to get their hands on, you know, some of the Totnes pounds.
Okay.
And it just makes you think twice, because you realise I can't spend this money off the high street.
Right.
And it does make you encourage, oh, I can spend this in this shop.
Yeah.
And it is all about supporting the high street, because, you know, we all know we can go to major supermarkets and get every single thing you need, including furniture, toys, makeup, groceries.
Yeah.
And you can do that, but then it just leaves all these amazing towns that are full of history and culture. It just leaves them, I don't know, failing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And because there's a Bristol pound, I think, isn't there? And there's a Brixton pound as well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But the concept is, am I right, that you exchange your conventional pounds for Totnes pounds or Bristol pounds, and it's pound for pound the same, but the money then stays within the local, you spend it in local shops and it stays within the local economy, rather than, as you say, going to kind of line the pockets of these shareholders of the big corporations.
Yeah, so we like to think of it as, when you hand the Totnes pound over, you're giving that money directly to like a family, like a working family, as opposed to like a faceless corporation.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And what proportion of, would you say, is Totnes pounds to normal pounds in the shop?
It's not as many as I'd like, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've heard it was more popular than it is now. We
right.
feel it's, and the popularity of it has died down. Almost like the novelty's worn off.
Oh,
and I was
okay.
actually speaking to someone that's lived in Totnes for many years, and they think that, you know, we need to do something to kind of promote it again.
Okay.
And get it back in the forefront of people's minds, because when it first came out, it was the talk of the town, and everyone wanted to use it, and it's kind of losing its appeal, unfortunately.
Yes. I suppose
but
there's
hopefully,
that, that extra, you have to go and change your pounds and all that kind of thing. So there's that extra.
But they have recently created, you can pay on your phone with the Totness. Wow. So that's like a really new thing. So I think that's their way of like injecting a bit of life back into it.
Yes.
Download the Totness Pound app, and I think you can put money on it and you can scan your phone. I don't actually know how people pay on phones. I'm still learning.
I only just worked out the contactless thing. That freaked me out for ages.
Yeah, and it's moved on already. We're over contactless now. It's now on phones.
Yeah. So if there are people, lots of people aren't going to live anywhere near Totness, and hopefully there will be more and more zero waste shops opening around the country. But what are some simple steps that we can all take to reduce the amount of rubbish that we're sending to landfill if we don't live near a zero waste shop?
Even if you're shopping in a major supermarket, you can make a big change. And every time you purchase, it's actually giving the owners of that supermarket a message.
Yes.
So don't buy fruit and vegetables that are in plastic wrap, mm-hmm. because it's unnecessarily bad. Choose the loose ones. Mm-hmm. If there's a market nearby, even better, because they're normally all loose. Mm-hmm. So fruit and veg, buy loose for sure. And then if you are buying the dried produce, try and buy in bulk, because it does limit the packaging. So a lot of Asian or Oriental supermarkets, if you have live near a Chinatown or something like that, you can get big 5 kilo sacks of rice and beans. And then you can extend this beyond your grocery shopping. You can, you know, refuse plastic straws if you're in restaurants.
Yeah.
You can take your own coffee cup to coffee shops.
Yes.
Yeah, we're actually, regards to straws, we're actually putting up on our blog next week a template of an email. We're going to encourage people to send to their local restaurants and eateries, asking them to be part of the straws suck campaign.
To
stop offering plastic straws.
Yeah.
Because we go to this really nice family-friendly pub right on the ocean. It's right near the beach, and we often litter pick on that exact beach. And the number one thing we pick up is plastic straws.
Really?
And unfortunately, this pub still offer plastic straws. They don't even offer, they just put it in without thinking about it.
Yeah.
So we've written an email to them, and I just thought it would be a good idea to share the email I've sent to other people, because a lot of these, you know, eateries, they don't think, so if it's not brought to their attention, they don't know.
Yes, yeah.
So it's about speaking up as well and saying, like, I don't want the straw.
Yeah.
And then tell them why.
Yes.
You know?
And hopefully that will become as commonplace almost as the reusable coffee cups and the reusable bags and that kind of thing.
Is
that, as you say, it's just that people just don't even think that it's... We've got there's some stainless steel straws for the kids if they want to have straws at home. But and I always forget when we go to restaurants to say no straws. I don't understand really why it's become such a normal thing to have straws with every drink, even for grown-ups.
Exactly. We just need to get out the habit and just remembering to take things places. Maybe having straws at home, a straw in the car, and a straw in your handbag.
Yes.
Just so you kind of always got them on you. It's, you know, they're only small and light.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And one of the themes that's been kind of running through this chat, and I think runs through your website and your ethos as well, is, and there's a quote on your website that's, if not me, who, and if not now, when. That concept of personal responsibility and thinking about the impact of your choices, that seems really important to you guys.
Yes. I think it's really easy to criticize other people, mm-hmm. and even more so to criticize the big corporations and say, oh, well, it's, you know, what can we do if this is what the stores or the restaurants are offering?
Yeah.
And it's actually, we're the ones with the power. We're the majority. We're the ones at the bottom of the tier. So if we collectively say no and collectively make it, we'll have a huge impact. It'll be a domino effect. So it just takes one person, and you find in yourself in your private life, if you make one change in your life without you telling your friends and family, you will like really softly influence them.
Yes.
And before you know it, they'll pick up on it, or they might ask questions. And people asking questions is exactly what you want. It gets them thinking.
Starts a conversation, doesn't it?
Yeah, it starts a conversation, and then they'll pass it on and it'll just spread.
That's one of the things I say. I had two pairs of jeans that were just completely falling apart, and I'd very visibly mended them. And something like visible mending, in the same way as reusable shopping bags probably once were, and now reusable coffee bags and coffee cups and straws and things, people see it and it's different, and then they ask a question. People say, oh, I love your jeans, and I'd say, oh yeah, you know, and then you have a conversation about fast fashion and about repair and reuse and all those sorts of things. And I'm completely with you. It's one of my huge passions, is that we when you think about these big issues like plastic pollution and zero waste, it's very easy to get overwhelmed and to think, well, they're not doing it, so there's no point me doing it. Or, as you say, it's the big businesses that need to be taking responsibility. Well, I can't influence the big businesses other than as an individual consumer, but I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm not a CEO of a big company. I'm not a government minister. But actually, there are an awful lot of things that I can do in my business and in my personal life. And it's really, really important to me that I do them.
Yeah. Everything you do, everything you buy, casts a vote for the kind of world you want to live in.
Definitely.
So it's, if you buy organic, the demand for organic will go up. Mm. You know, if you refuse plastic packaging, the demand for packaging free, because even if in a weird way, if we want to kind of support these corporations, they'll go where the money is.
Yes.
So you show them that there's a demand for eco-sustainable products and they'll make them.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, because as you said, they go where the money is.
Yeah.
So what's been the best thing so far about opening and running the shop?
I'd say just how happy we both are.
Really?
Yeah, it's just working, and it's our work and personal life really twined together as one.
Yeah.
Not in a way where people say, oh, you should leave your work at work and come home. Sure. It's, our work is our life.
Yeah.
You know, we love telling people what fun things they can do with black beans. They can make chocolate cake with black beans, or
wow,
you can make turmeric milk, which is like a golden milk. Like, we're advising them on the foods that we enjoy eating.
Yeah.
We're supporting organic farming. We get to socialise with the local community. Like, the shop's become a real hub in the town.
Oh.
And yeah, it just feels really good to get up in the morning.
That's amazing. And do you live above the shop?
We don't. We live about, how many miles away do we have? Three? About 3 miles out of town.
Oh, okay.
So we live opposite fields with cows, so it's a nice rural location.
Brilliant. It all sounds just, it sounds idyllic, is it?
It is. It's, we live, they say, often say Totnes is paired with Narnia, and it really is.
We're, oh, really?
In Narnia, right? Yeah.
And you're making it sound so effortless and, as I said, idyllic, but there must have been some challenges. What's been your biggest challenge?
Everything's a challenge to some extent. It's just how we approach it. We've got a very positive outlook, and we laugh when things are going wrong. We laugh.
Okay.
Like, there was times when we was number crunching before we were setting up the shop and trying to do spreadsheets and working out pricings, and we just didn't have a clue what we was doing. So we just started laughing and said, we had to YouTube a few things, like, how do we work this out and how do we do this? But we got there. Obviously, tiredness.
Yeah.
There's times where we've been so tired.
Yeah.
Well,
it's exhausting enough having a small baby, let alone starting up a business at the same time.
Yeah, and we was really firm with that we wouldn't let setting up the business go ahead of raising Willow.
Uh-huh.
So we literally did everything while she slept. We wanted to be really present when she was awake. Uh-huh. So she's not known anything really until the shop opened. We was just with her 100%, and then the minute she slept or went to bed in the evenings, we'd, you know, get the laptop out, do some research, send some emails, and it was a juggling act. So when I should have probably been sleeping, I was not. But we're glad we did it, because now that she's just that little bit older, we realize it would have been I'm not going to say impossible, but much more difficult to do now.
Once they're mobile,
she's moving around and she has an opinion.
And does she come into the shop with you?
She does. So Richard works in the shop full time. Mm-hmm. I do the stuff behind the scenes, but me and Willow head into town nearly every day just to say hi and let her taste a bit of dried mango.
Stick her hands in all the... No, she doesn't. Cause
She doesn't. No, she's on strict. She's away from the containers.
Yeah. And it sounds like you two are an amazing team and amazing support for each other. Have you had any other support along the way?
No, we had, it was just us two. At the very, very beginning stages, we had a business advisor on, like, I think it was a 2-hour basis, who just basically made sure we'd set it up legally.
Right.
To check that we hadn't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just been us two. And now that the shop's actually working well, we've got two other staff working with us.
Wow.
So there's normally two or three people in the shop at any one time, which is great because they're two really great guys, and we don't think of them as they work for us, they work with us.
Yeah.
And we just have fun with them, and they're both musicians. So on Saturday they had the drum and the guitar outside the shop and was doing a little song for everyone. It was a good environment.
Oh, and what are your plans it's really early days at the moment, isn't it, having only opened in March? But, you know, your plans for the next 3-5 years, are they to consolidate what you've got there and that lifestyle?
Yeah, so we still really crave a slow, simple life. Mm-hmm. We don't kind of want world domination with Earth Food Loves all over the place. We want to see Zero Waste shopping everywhere, but not ours, because we value family time.
Yeah.
Regards our shop itself, we would like to just keep adding more and more products. So I don't know if we'll ever be able to go to a bigger premises within Totnes, because I just want to sell everything without packaging. I want people to be able to get wine and beer and milk and just, sun cream, everything.
Yeah.
I just think if you can buy it in a small packaging, then we should be able to get it in large quantities and let people fill themselves.
Yeah. And
so, buying, a bigger premises.
You guys buying in bulk, there must be packaging associated with that, is there?
Yes. So it's zero waste for the customer. Mm-hmm. It's not zero waste for us. We do, however, get a lot of the products, which usually come in plastic, in paper sacks.
Oh, wow.
So rice, for example, that you'd normally buy in a shop in a small plastic packet, we get it in like 25, 30 kilo paper sacks.
Yeah.
So the majority of stuff comes in paper sacks. There is still a few products that come in plastic due to the nature of the product.
Yeah.
So nuts, for example, can't be transported. They're always vacuum packed in plastic to make sure they don't go stale.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, this is obviously beyond me, but I'm hoping I send the message that we want an alternative. So I'm sure there's some extremely intelligent scientists and designers out there that can somehow create a package made of hemp or cellulose.
Yeah.
And that would be the answer to that problem.
Yeah, because you've seen those, you can get these little water, like capsule things that are in seaweed. They look like plastic capsules, but they're seaweed based. There must be something along those lines, mustn't there?
Yes. Well, you can get, I think it's called cellulose. It's probably a similar product. It's made of plant fibre.
Right.
Looks like plastic, but then it's hemp. If the world started using hemp, it would end a lot of the problems we have.
Yeah.
It's biodegradable. It's fast and sustainable to grow. Yeah. So it's, maybe that's where the governments need to come in and, you know, encourage an alternate to plastic.
Yes. Yeah. And it is just, I know we've just finished Plastic Free July, haven't we? It's sort of middle of August when we're recording this, and you guys did loads and loads for Plastic Free July on social media, didn't you? I was just amazed at you came up with something different every day, didn't you? It was amazing.
Yeah, it was a really fun challenge, actually. It was, you know, stretched like, what do we do that other people might not think of? And we enjoyed it. And it's Zero Waste Week in the first week in September, so we're going to be part of that as well.
Brilliant. And I'm actually interviewing Rochelle later on today, the organiser of Zero Waste Week. Yeah. So I'm hoping to do a whole month of sort of zero waste themed podcasts. So we'll for September. But yes, I think with the Plastic Free July and probably with the zero waste things, I don't know if you find a lot of the things that I do have now become sort of embedded in the way that I live, so I don't really think about them. And then you think, oh god, I've got to do like 31 days of zero waste posts, what are we going to talk about? And then suddenly when you start thinking about it, you could probably do 50.
Yeah that's what it's like. So it's fun as well, and I think people love challenges.
Yes.
So it's good to strive towards something. It keeps you on track.
Yes, definitely. And in terms of those sort of zero waste products that you've got, like the toothbrushes and the sanitary products and things, do they sell quite well?
They do. People love those, and I think they're good for people because Totnes is a tourist town as well, mm-hmm. so we get a lot of holiday goers.
Yeah.
And so that section of the shop allows people to come in and still make a contribution and learn about zero waste. Whereas they don't need the food, you know, if they're on holiday, they don't need a bag of rice or they've not got the jars with them. So it's a good introduction into the zero waste lifestyle.
Yeah. And I loved what you said right at the start about when we were talking about the containers that people bring with them, because I think if you Google zero waste, you might get people like Bea Johnson, and her name escapes me at the moment, but the girl who does trashes for tossers.
Lauren Singer.
Yeah. And they're all these very beautiful, very minimalist, lots of mason jars and everything, and that can be quite intimidating, can't it? But I love the fact that people come in with their ice cream tubs and their Tupperware and probably have a massive jar of messy Tupperware and don't have all these beautifully organized
mason
jars.
Yeah, And people have apologised. They've brought, plastic Tupperwares in before and said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm bringing plastic. And I said, no, don't apologise. Mm. It's disposable plastic we're trying to get rid of. Like, we need to end disposable plastic, but reusing plastic, that's exactly what we're about.
Yeah.
You know, would it make sense for us all to throw away everything plastic we've got and say, I'm going to get everything in glass, wood and stainless steel?
Yes.
That's for if you're buying new things. Yes. That's, what we encourage. But if you've got plastic, then use it.
Yes.
It's going to be around forever. You might as well use it.
Exactly, yeah. So it's that distinction, isn't it, between the single-use plastic and the...
disposable, yeah.
The reusable plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. There's so many questions I should ask you, but I'm aware that you guys have got a shop to run and a small person to look after as well. So where can we find you, both sort of online and off?
So... online, we're on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter.
Brilliant.
And we do blogs on our website. So if you find us at Earth Food Love, the Zero Waste Shop. And offline, so when we're not in the shop, we're not doing zero waste activities, so to speak, you'll find us at the beach or in the forest.
Oh.
Yes, we love the beaches around here. It's come rain or shine, it's a good place to be.
Definitely. And just one last question that occurred to me while you're talking. Have you been asked to do lots of talks and that kind of thing off the back of the shop?
We did get asked when it first opened, but we wasn't confident enough.
Yeah. So
we actually got, there was a local TEDx in Totnes.
Oh, okay.
And so maybe next year.
Yes.
Maybe as we become more experienced and wiser.
Yeah.
It's something I'd like to do, especially with children. I feel if we approach children, that's where the big change is going to be.
Yeah, start them young, and they just get it, don't they? They just it makes no sense to them that things are the way they are. And my kids will ask me questions, and you try and explain it, and you can't. And it just makes total sense to them.
Yeah, so I think if schools get involved, then that's the answer, really.
Yeah, definitely.
And we're willing to work with schools on it. We think over time it'd be great for school trips to come to our shop and do projects around it and show them the movies that, like Plastic Ocean, and let them watch movies like that on a projector and then ask us questions about it.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that, they'll be shopping with the parents and they'll say something like, no, don't buy the avocado, it's in a plastic bag. And it'll make the parents be like, oh, okay.
Pester power, but in a good way.
Yeah.
It would be an awesome school trip because I was... the other day my eldest went on a school trip and they went to Tesco's and I was like, seriously?
Oh no.
And they went out the back and they went upstairs and did all these things and I was like, oh, I just despaired because they were learning about food and farming and stuff and I was like, oh, please don't take them to Tesco.
That's so disconnected from the farm itself.
So maybe I'll suggest that they ought to have a road trip down to Tottenham.
Yes, please do.
Brilliant. Oh, it's been fabulous to talk, and I really hope that we can pop in and see you next week and get to nose around, and we'll bring our tatty Tupperware with us as well.
Yes, no judgment on the tatty Tupperware. we embrace all kinds of containers.
Fabulous. Oh, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
All right.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye bye. You've been listening to the Making Good podcast with me, Jen Gale. If you've enjoyed the show, I'd really love you to pop over to iTunes to leave a review and say nice things. I'd also love to hear your feedback and your thoughts, so do drop me a line on jen@jengale.co.uk or head over to my Making Good community on Facebook. Thanks for listening.